It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Acts, and we're in the second chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 37 today. And so please, that you open your Bibles up and prepare the study as we continue this wonderful study in the book of Acts. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 37. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be ye baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this unward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the Word. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious study. It's so wonderful, Father, that we can have this time together. And I just ask that you'll touch every heart. Because as these folks gathered and Peter proclaimed your Word, proclaimed Scripture verses from the Old Testament, and he brought that together and connected it with the Lord Jesus and his salvation that's brought through the cross of Calvary. And so, Father, I ask that that be the case today, that we can bring the Word of God and bring it forward and touch the hearts of all that are listening, that they too would repent. It's so important that they turn unto you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So please guide and lead us today and speak to all of the hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these words and as Peter and we have looked at the statements, the wonderful word that Peter has proclaimed here on this day of Pentecost, we know that the Holy Spirit had come down upon the disciples, upon the apostles here, and he is filled with God's power and God's presence as he proclaimed this word. Peter's just no fisherman, but God has really blessed him with precious words to proclaim to all these folks that are here. Now, as you heard me read at the end, and that same day, and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We have no idea how many were there that day, because we know that it is a choice of each individual. But that day, there were 3,000 that was touched by the Word of God, convicted, and repented both. And so please that you learn and listen to this message today. When they heard Peter's message, and especially this last statements, because he made it very clear. And let me just read from verse 32 on down. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What powerful words, what strong words that Peter proclaimed. And those words, in going back to Joel, going back to David, all the things that were that he used according to the will of God and according to the Holy Spirit, it brought conviction upon these people. And it brought more than conviction. It brought a level of repentance. When they were convinced that they had crucified their Messiah, because that's the first step. Because, see, not long before, many of these same people were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And now they're standing before Peter. Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is proclaiming the word of God here. And they are being convinced by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is up on them. You see, Holy Spirit has not indwelt these folks yet, not until they have turned to the Lord Jesus. So here is this Spirit, as Peter proclaims it, and it is convicting their hearts. And he brought this to their attention, that you have crucified our Messiah. You have done it. And that is where these precious words come in. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, these words here, they were pricked in their heart. That's the Greek word that means to pierce. It means to penetrate. As a needle or a sharp instrument penetrates right into your heart, right into your very soul. That's what God's word does. Are you listening? Because I hope that that's what God's word is doing to you right now. Because if you've just been a church member all this time and you've never really listened to the word of God, and you've never allowed the precious word to really convict your heart, really, really, as it says, pricked, and that means pierce and penetrate. Now, we use that word conviction many times because that's where it starts. But you can be convicted, and you can think about it, and then you can return and go right, walking right down your old path that you have walked all your life. Conviction, hopefully, brings repentance. Repentance is a turning away from your old lifestyle. Now, as we look at this, we find that this words that Peter proclaimed, it pierced their very heart, their very soul with grief. It brought great pain to them. That's what happens when the word of God convicts your heart. It could be said that after Peter's preaching, they were pierced with fear because they had just come into the realization that, yes, they crucified the Son of God. They crucified their only opportunity, their only means of salvation. They have crucified their Messiah. And so when the question was lifted here and raised, And it says, what shall we do? What shall we do? They had fear in their hearts. And rightly so. And you see, we should have that same fear before we're saved, because we're standing before a righteous God, and God can't stand sin, and God judges sin. And we have no hope, we have no opportunity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Church membership, your catechism, your instruction that you had, your baptism that you may have had, all these things, your faithfulness to go to church, all these things are a waste if you replaced those things and ignored and rejected the fact that you need to repent. You need to turn away from your life, acknowledging, as these people acknowledged, again, it was standing right before them, because those words penetrated their heart, that you have killed, you have crucified the Son of God. Now, what shall we do? Judgment is certain to come. That's what they felt. And that's exactly the case of every individual. Judgment is certain to come if you don't turn to the Lord Jesus. Now, do you feel that pricking in your heart? Do you feel that fear? That a God placed fear in your heart, that you're judged, you're a sinner, you're lost, you're condemned already, you're facing the lake of fire. The only hope you have is to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. You feel that fear? Then say, Jesus, please save me. I know I'm lost, save me. That's the condition these people were in. That's the condition you may be in. But what are you going to do about it? He said, no, I've got my church. My church doesn't really teach that. At least wise, I haven't heard it. And so I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm talking about the Word of God, and I'm talking about what Peter proclaimed to these thousands of people that were standing before him. And when he preached this, and when he come up with that last statement, hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he is your Lord and he is your Savior. God's made him that. Now what are you going to do about it? Because right now you're still in your sin. You're still condemned already if you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that fear comes from that last statement that he said, but also it comes from the Old Testament words that Peter proclaimed, because he brought everything together. And you see, the Word of God does it. That's the reason we stay in the Word of God. Because if you leave the Word of God, and that's the reason we stay with the old King James, because I want the convicting power to be present. And so please listen. They felt a deep sense of guilt because of what they have heard and what they have done. Do you realize that your sin crucified the Lord Jesus? So you see, yes, you can have a part of his salvation, but you are right now, unless you have trusted in him, you have part of his crucifixion. You killed him. We all did. We all did. And we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Now, knowing that he is the Messiah, again, will God the Father bring vengeance upon us? That was their question. And so they came out with this wonderful statement here. And he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He was talking to the apostles. He was talking to Peter directly. They wanted to know. And I'm not sure that it wasn't a shout from the crowd, because we know by the upcoming verses that there were 3,000 that were saved. So there was an awful lot of people wanted to know the answer. They wanted to know the answer. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And this term, men and brethren, here comes with it with not a harsh voice. That comes with it a voice of love, a voice of compassion, a voice of trembling, a voice of please, please, dear brethren, tell us. Because you see, they were Jews just like Peter and the apostles. What in the world can we do to stop God's wrath? Because that's what they felt. And that's what we need to feel. Because when we feel that, we recognize that, that is when the day comes that we fall on our face and say, oh, Lord Jesus, please, please forgive me. Thank you for what you've done on the cross. And I come by faith to you. That's what needs to be done. You see, Peter's sermon brought them under deep conviction. They were no longer mocking him. They were no longer mocking the Lord Jesus as they said, crucify him, crucify him. You know, the Roman soldiers said, if you can, you know, if you be the Christ, you come down off of the cross. But as we look at these words here, Peter said to them after that question, he said to them, repent. Repent. Now, in this verse of Scripture, it goes on and he says, and be baptized. And yes, that's what you do. But repentance is always first. True repentance. And I hope that you can find your way to see, because so many people have been taught for so many years that baptism is a requirement of salvation. It is not. It is something that should be done, you should follow, but it is not. It is not a requirement for salvation. Salvation is something that our God does for us. If you come to him by faith with a repentant heart, like we're talking about here, you've been convicted of your sin. You've really come to the realization, because the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door and showing you that you're responsible for crucifying Jesus. But he's also showing you that he rose from the dead and he's alive. And acknowledging that, you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And walk with him and serve him. But that repentance here, again, is totally and completely separate from the act of baptism. Baptism is something you do after you're saved, after you're born again. Then and only then are you baptized. And the only reason for baptism is to show those folks, including other believers, that I am saved. I'm saved. I'm going to show you. You go down into the water, it pictures the old self. You go down under the water, it shows you dying with Christ. Then you come up out of the water, it pictures a resurrection of Christ. That is a beautiful example, but it is not performed until you're saved, till you're born again. Repentance, true repentance, is sorrow for sin that you've committed against a holy God. And part of that sin nailed Jesus to the cross. All of that sin did. But not only sorrow for your sin, but a turning from your sin. Forsake sin and turn to God. Yes, we're still in the flesh, but there is a heart change. True repentance is such a hatred for sin that one forsakes sin and turns from it. One could make the statement about face to walk with God. Because right now, until you are born again, till you're saved, till you've repented, as Peter calls for these people to do, you're walking the opposite direction. You got no desire for things of God. Always said, yes, I do. I love to go to church, and I love to work, and I love to serve. See that you know Jesus as your Savior. I want you to be born again. I don't want you to be deceived because you just have repeated some words once. Did the Holy Spirit convict your heart? Because that's the only way that you can be saved. Don't mistake conviction for repentance. You can be convicted for what you've done and not repent. Conviction may pass quickly, and it'll leave a soul as lost and helpless as before. A man may fear God, but the devil did too. He believed and trembled. James chapter 2, verse 19 tells us that. But certainly we know he's not saved. Let's look that verse of Scripture up. Find a book of Hebrews, you can find a book of James, James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. So where do you stand? To be sorry brings question, are you just sorry that you got caught? Many people worry about what they do, but that is not true repentance. To turn to God is to immediately and automatically turn from sin. You know, we have many here, men of God, true men of God, preach only repentance. John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, repent ye. The Lord Jesus, Luke 13, 3 and verse 5, except ye repent. And here we have Peter. So to date, John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, and Peter. And we know that Paul and John and many others continued to preach the truth, repentance. Repentance. Now, repentance does precede baptism. Baptism is an outward confession that we are dead with Christ, buried with Christ, and raised with Christ, as we have just said. And we are set to walkness in the newness of life with the Lord Jesus. So Peter, he commanded the Jews to repent. And too often, again, we have tied those two together. Then, and only then, follow Christ in baptism. Salvation comes only by the grace of God. Salvation comes only by the mercy of God. Baptism is something that we do in obedience to our God, showing what has happened in our heart. You know, John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, came by night. We're not sure why, whether that was the only time Nicodemus could come or whether Nicodemus didn't want to necessarily be seen by Jesus at this time. And so he come and he said, you know, Jesus, I know that you're a teacher come from God. And so we know that. And immediately then the Lord Jesus said to him, you must be born again. You must be born again. It's a beautiful text. Let's just go back to John very quickly here. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, the only thing he could think of was something that was natural. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And if we back up here, realize that water is not water baptism. That is concerning the Word of God. We have many verses of Scripture that speak of the water being the Word of God. So we read the Word of God, we proclaim the Word of God, and that allows the Spirit of God to convict and turn your heart to Jesus. And I want you to do that. Now you have a choice. You have a choice. Peter said to them, repent. That was his word. John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus said, repent ye. Except ye repent. Except ye be born again. So please, please don't trust in anything except the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to convict your heart, just like it did these 3,000. Touched their heart. Brought them to a place where they had to make a decision. And we don't know how many was there that day. We don't know how many. But we know 3,000 believed. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?